Well, there seems to be a theme going on this morning from the songs, from the prayer Karen prayed, and the passage we're going to read. Because if we look around, we're all family. We're all family in Christ. And we're blessed every Sunday, every Wednesday, to come in and to hear the word. But hearing the word isn't enough. We have to put it into action. That's the part that so many of us, myself included, fail a lot of times. And it's nothing new, really. Paul, writing to the Galatians, he was expressing the same thing, and he was telling us how we react to each other, to our family. So if you would stand, please, for the reading of the word, beginning in Galatians chapter 6. It said, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever flows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We thank you, Lord, for your word."
Well, I don't know if you hear it this morning, but, you know, as the word's being read, it's like there's something inside of us that's just responding to the word. Did you guys hear it this morning? Amen. Like, as he's reading the truth, there's like, you know, you can hear people, "That's right, that's right." You know, it's like setting with us well. It's well with our soul when we hear the word. And it's like, I see that and I think, you know, the Holy Spirit is alive and well in this place, because here's the thing, when we hear the truth and there's something inside of us that just wells up and we have to say something, the Holy Spirit is just confirming that in our hearts, like, that's the truth. And so, next week is Pentecost Sunday. And for people from a Pentecostal background, people from a Pentecostal denomination, this is a big day. Because this is when we talk about the Holy Spirit being poured out into this earth. Now, we're not part of a Pentecostal denomination anymore. We're just an independent local church. But there was a time that we were. But here's the thing. Let me tell you about being Pentecostal, because it really has nothing to do with the denomination. It has nothing to do with church organizations and money and who you tithe to and all that other stuff. Pentecostal means I believe and we believe in the full movement of the Holy Spirit from start to finish, right? Because the Holy Spirit was poured out on this earth. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon us when we got saved and we received the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is still alive and well with us and walks with us every day through this life. And it's very much a picture of what it means to be Pentecostal. But here's the thing. The thing that really marked the day of Pentecost is this, is that the Holy Spirit was poured out, and there was speaking in tongues, there was tongues of fire that fell upon people, and so we see there was an actual physical manifestation. But let me tell you this. There has been something in Pentecostal denominations and back in the day when we were that we want the movement of the Spirit and the manifestation more than we want the substance of the Spirit inside of us. And I'll tell you what, if we get to a point where we just want to see the show, but we don't want the transformation, something is seriously wrong inside of us. And there's got to be something inside of us that said, "God, I want you to change my heart." And so we can't live like that. You know, it's like the thing is, there are times that people want the power of God, but then they lack the heart of God. And the thing is, it wouldn't do any good for us to pour out the power of the Spirit in this place and like you have the Holy Spirit work through us if the Holy Spirit is not in our hearts and not functioning in us and we don't have love for each other. So here's the thing. Things have to be right here before they're right out there. At some point, we have to have our hearts right and we have to treat each other in this church body right before we go out there and treat our community the way Christ treats a community. It can't be done until we treat each other right. And I don't say this today because everybody's biting at each other and we have internal problems, because we don't. Because here's the deal. We have to set the standard. The standard is set. Regardless of where we are and what we need help with, yes, there are people out there who like to talk about each other. Take it all in today, okay? But there are also people out there who are very much a part of the church body the way it's supposed to be. So I'm just going to throw the truth out there, and you need to let the truth set in. And don't think, that'd be really good if someone else was here to hear this right now. You know what I mean? No, just take it in for yourself, okay? You're responsible for you, right? And so that's kind of where we are. It says this in the Word in John 13:35. They'll know that we're Christians by the way that we love one another. They're not going to know that you're Christians just because you did a miracle, because it wasn't you anyway. Right? Jesus Christ did the miracle. The power of the Holy Spirit did the miracle. The bottom line is this, and until we learn to love each other, people are never going to see Christ in us. If we're going to call ourselves Christians, which means little Christ, then we certainly need to get his heart. We need to understand there needs to be things right here before we go out there. Here's what I'm really saying, is there needs to be some spiritual credibility to this place before we go out there. Because until we have cred, until we have like credibility as Christians, and we can do it right here, we have no business being out there. Because here's what ends up happening is we give Jesus a bad name, and that's not what we're about here. I can't speak for every church in town. All I can say is that this is our church family. This is where we're headed. This is where we're going. And the thing about it is we've got to get this part of Scripture down. So I want to read to you today from the Message Bible. I don't do it all the time, but this one here really grabs hold of it. I want you to hear it. This is Galatians 6. It says, live creatively, friends. It just starts there, period. Live creatively. And you know, when I read that at first, I'm like, wow, we need to be creative with all the things God's given us. We need to think about the ways we can use what God's given us to be able to be a witness to him. No, imagine this for a second, that this kind of creativity is a little different. If we're going to live creatively, we need to live so that we create the things that God wants to create through us. Okay, imagine we are creative people, but we are only creative because the Holy Spirit is in us, not because we somehow manifest. And I want you to hear this, because this is the thing. The world will tell you, you can speak things into existence. That's a form of manifestation, and God is not in that. That is not right. And there have been people in the Pentecostal movement for years that would tell you, you speak everything into existence. And let me tell you something, it is only through the power of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit we're able to do those things. We are not manifesting because we're powerful. That's not how it works. And so we live creatively because we can create things when we take the very character that Christ has put in us and we reach out in his name and do things for people the way he wants it done. Then we begin to create things for him. And so when we talk about living creatively, it's about creating things the way Christ told us to. It's very different. Because if we're not careful, we'll read this passage and somehow we just need to be creative. We need to come up with cool ideas how we get to use all the stuff that God gave us. And I can tell you what ends up happening is we create things that are man-made, that are powerless, and when we call upon the Holy Spirit to somehow infill that powerless thing we've created, it doesn't work. And so the church just sits here and creates nothing and does nothing because it was built upon a human convention and not upon the Holy Spirit. And so, here's what it says. This is how we're to treat each other, okay? I want you to take in the whole idea. This is for, first and foremost, this body of Christ and then for everybody else, but especially for right here. Okay, now I want you to hear it. It says, if someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore them, saving your critical comments for yourself. How many times have people fallen into sin, you've looked at it and your first thought is, you know what, I would never do something like that. I can't believe it. I thought he was a good guy. I thought he wouldn't do stuff like that. You know, he's really talked a good talk all these years. Let me tell you something, Christ is not in that. Christ is not in that. There is no gentle restoration. That's what this whole thing is about, is gently restoring people to where God wants them to be. And when gentle restoration happens within the body of Christ, gentle restoration happens in the people out in this community, which is what they need. They need to see that picture of Christ and not some picture of a harsh church that looks down on them because they're not able to toe the line. Because you know what? Those people in those churches that act like they can toe the line, they can't either. They're just hiding it. And that's the truth. It goes on to say this, you might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Remember, give it out because you're going to need it. And for anybody who says they don't need it, you're in denial, but we'll work on that another day, okay? All right. It says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. When it talks about completing Christ's law, love your neighbor as yourself. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. There are people in this church body today that are oppressed and they're having difficulty, they're struggling. And we can't just sit back and watch that. We can't just sit back and go, you know what? They've been a Christian way too long to be acting like this. I've heard that stuff. Let me tell you something. God's not in that. God's not in that. That's not the attitude that we're to have for each other. It says that we're badly deceived if we think we're too good to reach out to them and to be where they are. Because here's the thing. This can happen to anybody. Anybody can get into a place where they feel oppressed or they're under the hand of something that they don't want to be because they made some bad choices. And I can tell you something, there's got to be a safety in this place so when people get to places like that, that they know when they come here that somebody's going to reach out and say, you know, I see a heaviness on you, but I want to pray for you today because God wants to set you free. Amen. There's got to be something in us that says that Christ has freedom. Do you want it? Well, if you want it, you came to the right place. You're my family. I'm going to lift you up. I'm not going to tear you down. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. I mean, take a hard look at who you are, what everything God's given you, and then find out what it is you're called to do in this world, and then go do that. Don't criticize everybody else and what they're doing. Because let me tell you, the world is filled with critics, but the church shouldn't be. There's no place for it here. There's no place for that stuff here because we're all doing life and we're doing life the way God leads us to do it. And everyone's going to do it a little bit differently. We're going to do it with our different personalities. We're going to do it with our different callings. There are going to be things that we do differently and it's okay. But we've got to be in a place where we're ready to help people and be with people and like being able to do these things. Here's what it says. It says, don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself to others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. The creative best. You know what? This life is purposeful. It's not like you're just bumbling through. Let me tell you something. When it comes to this life, we tend to think of it as responsive. I try to respond to the things that come my way in a godly way. Let me tell you something. This life is not responsive. It's proactive. Because we choose to live this life. We live this life with an idea that I'm going to create something today the way God wants it created, and it's proactive. It's not some response that I have to things that happen to me. That I'm in the process of actually pouring out and creating things, and I'm being proactive with my life. It's a different way of looking at things. It's just not how you react. People tell me, well, I reacted pretty well today. I didn't say what I was really thinking. Well, don't get me started. We got some stuff to talk about, okay? Here's the thing. If you're really thinking something else and you just held it back, then we got some work to do, right? God has some work to do in your heart, right? And so it's like we need to take responsibility for being creative. We need to not be too impressed with ourselves. You know what happens when you're really impressed with yourself, like you really have something going on, spiritually, let's talk about? Is we get to a place where we somehow think we're superior to other people, and so we find ourselves not able to kind of be with the peasants. You know what I mean? And let me tell you, there are no peasants in this place. We're all the same. In God's eyes and in each other's eyes, it should be. And it says, and don't compare yourself to others. Because the more we compare ourselves with others, the more we are vying for position within the church, and we don't want to help people because they might become bigger and better than we are. And let me tell you, that stuff exists in the church, and there's no place for that in the church. Because here's the thing, we want to lift people up to a place where they even go further than we'll ever be while we sit back and like cheer them on while they do the very thing that we've been doing. Right? That's the whole idea, that we're lifting people up. It doesn't matter how high you lift them. Lift them as high as you possibly can. There are no positions in here. The only position is the head of the church, which is Christ, of which he is the Savior. That's what the scripture says. Be very sure now, you who have been trained into a self-sufficient maturity, so that you enter into a generous, common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and you experience. There's a point where you get to a place of self-sufficient maturity. And that doesn't mean like you do it all on your own, because that's not true, but we get to a place where we're able to function. And when we're able to really function and we have that self-sufficient maturity, we find ourselves living the life that we see right here. Imagine a church filled with people who are so encouraging and so there for you that when you're oppressed, you're having trouble, that when you come in this place, you get everything that you need because God has already ordained everything that you need into the lives of people who are willing to help you. I mean, what would it be like when you come into that, right? Isn't that what everybody wants? Isn't that a picture of what church is all about? And let me ask you something. It's like growing up, I didn't see that. I'll just be really honest. I didn't see that. I saw a lot of people who acted perfect, and I saw a lot of broken people in this big old chasm between the two of them. Like, they couldn't get to where those were, and those acted like that they could never get there either. And so it was like there was this big old empty spot right in the middle of the church. There was no development from broken all the way to whole. There was just some sort of chasm there that was like broken. And it shouldn't exist in the church. Here's what it says. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. Anybody ever harvested any weeds before? Been there, done that, right? We've done it, but the whole point is that we need to be careful what we plant because that's part of purposeful living. Like, if you're going to create the things that God has called you to create in your life and you're going to live proactively, you are going to choose to plant things in people's lives that you have influence with in your church family, and those things that you plant, you expect to take root and become things that grow in their lives, right? So let me ask you this. Is there any place to plant discouragement in this place? Because I've seen it. Discouragement should never be planted in this place. Because we serve a God that works through every situation and every problem and every issue that people experience. There's no reason to ever be discouraged here. We never want to plant something that's going to end up growing and tearing people down. We need to get to a place where we plant the very thing that we want to harvest. You know, this whole idea of planting, we talk about it in the context of planting for our lives. You plant so you get. But let me tell you something. We need to be thinking a little bit differently. You plant today so that God gets. God gets the glory. That's what the planting's for. The planting's not for you. But there's this byproduct of planting for God is that the very thing that you were created to do, you begin to do, and you feel fulfilled with the life that God's given you because you're planting for Him. And that's just a wonderful thing. It's like a win-win-win-win-win, right? You just keep on winning in this whole thing because the more you give God the glory, the more things happen in your own life. It says this, all we'll have to show for this life if we plant the wrong things is a harvest of weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. And this thing is serious. This is not a joke. This is not like, it'd be nice if you did this. This is not a suggestion. This is like we plant things in people's lives that we want to bring glory and honor to God because the thing is these things equate to eternal life in our own life. Because you'll not plant things that you don't believe in. Let me tell you, if you believe in the power of God, you will plant things in people's lives that manifest the power of God in their life. Those are the things you'll plant. But the thing is, if you don't plant those things, it makes you wonder, where are you at with that? Where are you at with it personally? When you're not willing to plant something that's for God, but go plant for you, then the question is, who's your God? And I know that's a hard thing to take in, but I want us to think about that. So, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. Because let me tell you, I imagine, and I think I've experienced some of this, and I think a lot of us have, that the more that we plant for Christ, the more we get tired, but we don't get tired of doing it, we just get tired in the process. Because there's something inside the sinful nature that says, I need to get something out of this. And if we're not the beneficiary of everything that we're doing, sometimes it brings weariness to us. And I want you to get that because that's where weariness comes from. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the sinful nature being starved. And when we starve the sinful nature and we start feeling that way, it's like, you know, God is going to do something amazing and awesome. Don't get fatigued in doing that. That fatigue is not of God. That fatigue is the sinful nature crying out, what about me? Don't give in to that. Don't give in to that and start feeding yourself because the thing is, this life is about feeding others the power of God. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Hear me. No quitters in this place. So many times I've seen people not get their way, things don't go their way, they're a little upset. Well, I quit. This isn't the place for you if you're a quitter. Because we don't quit each other. I don't know about you, but I'm not into doing that. When I'm with somebody and they're my friend and they're my family, I'm in it. We don't quit each other in this place. We don't take our marbles and go home. And I did that when I was a little kid, so that like means something to me, you know what I mean? Man, I was into marbles. Anyway, so many people want to quit, and they want to give up. And I can tell you something, continue to do the work that God's put before you. When you look at the vastness of eternity and what happens when this life is over, and you look at how minuscule this life is, give this life your all. This is the training area for the life to come. And give this life everything you have for Christ, because there's going to be a day where you live every day with Him. You know, it's time to serve Him now. Goes on to say this, right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let's work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. It starts here. You know, let's do things for the benefit of everybody, not just for the benefit of you. You know, sometimes people come to me with complaints about the church and complaints about things that are happening, and it's like, you know, this is about all of us. This isn't just about you. You know, and it's not that people can't complain, because, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. But let me just tell you this, is that more than anything, I think we lay all of our opinions down and all of our preferences down, and we lay all this stuff down for the sake of Christ. And here's the reality of it, is that God has put a motley crew here together, okay? And Brian, I'm not talking about Motley Crue, okay, from the 80s, okay? He has placed a bunch of people here together that are very different. And if you're not careful, you'll focus on all the differences and not in the one similarity that really matters, you know? Christ is the only thing that brings us together. He is the only one who brings everyone in this place together. And here's the thing, we're all going to do it differently. We're all going to look at each other and go, man, that doesn't make any sense at all. And you know what? We need to keep those comments quiet, and we need to love people, and we need to be there for people, and we need to see them through the things of life. Because this should be a place where you come that's a safe place. It's a place that's secure, and it's a place that you can get the help you need, and that you don't feel bad when you come in here with issues, because you know that when you voice those to someone, that they're going to pray for you, and they're going to call upon the power of God to infiltrate this whole thing with you and just become, bring the healing that you need, because God wants to heal. You know, God wants to do a lot of things in the community. He wants to set people free. He wants His power to flow through this community. He wants to bring prosperity to people. He wants to bring healing to people. He wants to do all of these things. But I can tell you, it's really hard for God's Holy Spirit to inhabit and to flow through a church of people that don't have the right kind of love for each other. That they love each other, they love themselves and what they want more than they love each other as a family. And when that happens, it stops the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so we see churches that are essentially stagnant and lacking the power of Christ. And yet they call Christ the whole reason why they exist. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be a church that we just say, we believe in Jesus Christ, we confess Him to be a Lord of our lives, and then we go out there, we have no love for each other, we go out there and try to do things for the community, we give away hot dogs, we give away chips, we give away drinks, we do all that stuff, and we do it all in the name of Jesus, and then when we come back here in our family, we just don't have love for each other the way we ought to. You know, something like that just breaks my heart. I remember in my first year of ministry here, and I'm just going to be brutally honest. My first year of ministry here, we had a leader that was so angry. He was just like, every Sunday morning I'd come in and he was just like, he would chew my head off. And he was just all upset about his life and everything. But, you know, during the service, he's like, man, the Holy Spirit's getting ready to do something. Can you feel it? Can you feel the Holy Spirit? It's going to do something soon. One of these days, He's going to do something. And it was just like every day. I'd come in, he'd be angry. And then he'd tell me how the Holy Spirit's getting ready to move. And after a year of watching the Holy Spirit get ready and then him be angry, you know, I made a decision for the church that we're not going to cry out for this continuous move of the Spirit that we can watch. We're going to ask God, put all of that on hold, because until our hearts are transformed and until we have your love in our hearts, we don't need that. And I can tell you, it didn't really set well with people. I really believe God called me to do that. God, don't show yourself one more time. Do not manifest yourself in a physical way in the church. It's like, I don't want any of that until you manifest yourself in our hearts so that we don't have that kind of hatred and meanness in us. And I'll tell you what, this is the product of that. Because when you want your heart to be right and you cry out for transformation, God transforms you. And then when He transforms you, He inhabits you. And when He inhabits you, He pours out through you. And then things begin to happen the way they were supposed to happen all along. You know, some people thought that was the worst thing in the world to pray for. I stood up in front of the church and prayed that God would shut it down. And it didn't go over well. I went home and even questioned myself. I'm like, God, did I do the right thing? And He's like, I want to give my people my heart more than I want to pour out a message in tongues. More than I want to bring out a message in prophecy. More than I want to do a healing. I want to transform the hearts of my people. And I'll tell you what, God did it in a huge way. And you know what? He started with me. Let me tell you, everyone in this place, I don't care if you're a leader in this church, I don't care if you're a pastor in this church, I don't care what position or whatever you hold in this church, we need Jesus. We need Him to the very core of who we are. And I'll tell you what, we need to change the way we do life. Because as I read this passage to you today, I know that there are things we fall short on. And that's true for everybody in this place. You know, I just to kind of run through it, it says this, that we need to be creative with the life we've been given. We need to give out forgiveness, restoration. We need to share the burdens with people. We need to work at what we're supposed to do. We need to create things. We need to plant carefully. We need to harvest real and eternal life. We need to stay strong. We don't need to give up or quit. We work for everyone's benefit, and it starts right here. And when I hear that, and it starts with you and me, I look at that and think, you know, I have some work to do. But more than anything, God has some work to do in my heart, and I need to open up my heart and say, God, please fix me. And until we're willing to submit ourselves to God and ask for that, we're never going to be the church that we need to be. And we're never going to be able to be who we need to be in our community. And we're not going to be able to need to be who we are to our families. We're going to fall short in every possible way. God needs to change us. He needs to transform us. And He's going to do that if we call upon Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. There may be some here today that as I read this passage to you, you can see where you fall short. You can see where there are things that need to change. And it's up to us to say, God, change me. We need to open our hearts and say, God, I know that we need a change in life. We need to do things your way. If this is where you're at today, I just want you, if you would, to lift your hand today and say, I fall short. And I'll tell you what, we all fall short of the perfection of the Word, right? If we fall short, let's raise our hands in the air and just admit it. And say, God, I want it all. I want to be everything you've called me to be. Father, you see the hands, you see the hearts that are submitted to you today. Lord, I know you've called us to be all these things to our church family. You've called us to create with the life you've given us, but not create for us, but create for you. You've called us to be strong. You've called us to plant carefully. Lord, we want to do all these things. But Lord, we know we can't do it without you. So Lord, I pray that you begin to heal our hearts, Lord. I pray that you begin to help us look at our church family differently. That we're here to pour out forgiveness. That we're here to work out restoration only in your power, Lord. We're here to share burdens with each other. Lord, I thank you that you're birthing this in us and continuing to stir this within us. I thank you for the perfect standard you've placed in your word. Lord, I pray that you help us not to feel knocked down from this, Lord, but to feel empowered, that this is our opportunity. It's our opportunity to be there for each other. It's our opportunity to get things right here at home. So that when you pour out your Holy Spirit through us, that it changes a community the way you've always wanted it to be. Lord, we just love you and thank you and praise you for all you're doing in this place today. I pray that you work this out in our hearts, Lord. Continue to stir us inside through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we continue with our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? There may be some here who say, I have never walked my life out with Christ, but I'm ready to start now. I want to live this life that you've talked about. I want to live to create for God and not just for me. If this is where you're at today and you say, I am ready to confess Christ in my life, if that's where you're at, if you would lift your hand today, I just want to lead you in this prayer. Thank you. Is there anyone else here today? I just want to lead you in a prayer between you and God. Father God, today I give you my life. Today I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and was resurrected for my freedom. Father, give me ears to hear your Holy Spirit. Give me the strength to be obedient. Lord, I thank you for salvation. I thank you for eternal life. And I thank you that my eternity is sealed in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. If you made that decision today, I would like you to see Pastor Linda. She's in the very back. She has something that she would like to give you. Let's stand and worship the Lord.